Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm a little nervous, but yesterday I was driving. I had to take some meat out to the processor, and while I was driving out there, I was going over what we're going to cover today. I was listening to the audio Bible and going through chapters 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. And just listening to that. And then after I finished listening on my way back from where I was going, where I came from, it's amazing what a great message you can give while you're alone in your car. I mean, I was so eloquent and had all my facts. I was so accurate. So I was thinking, like, next time I'm going to rent a van and we're all going to go for a drive. And because it's really amazing how well you can and speak in those lonely one of those times when you're alone. Tundra alone. But I guess we could do this on Zoom. I could just get my car right now and just drive around and speak to y'all. But I'm thankful for this message. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're assigned a message, it shouldn't be a surprise. I'm like, someone signed this to me for a reason. You know, this is very convicting, and I'm thankful for it. And that's how we should be. If we're convicted by something, we should be thankful. If a brother comes to you and points something out to you and it convicts you, you should thank that brother and thank the Lord for that. Because sometimes, I know in my own life, sometimes we feel like we're being judged. Oftentimes that judgment isn't being judged, but it's you being convicted. So we shouldn't mistake that. So let's dive into Deuteronomy 29. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for your amazing love, Father, even though I failed so much, Father. And we all have, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this message of you giving us your laws, Father, and we just can't meet them, Father. We just can't. And Father, I just thank you that you've given us a true eyes to see, a true ears to hear, and a heart, Father, to understand. That is so important, Father. I am so thankful to you, Father, for that. We all are, Lord. Father, help us not to shut out your instruction, Father, and to grieve the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. We thank you. I just pray for your message to go out today, Father, not mine, not any of my deep agendas or motives, Father, but may your message go out, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So Deuteronomy 29, our brothers, when we first started Deuteronomy 29, our brother pointed out, listen, you know, I think you might remember that, listen. Listen is synonymous with obey. We know, all of us with kids, we know how important that is. They can listen, but they're not really listening until they do, until they obey. And all throughout Deuteronomy, actually all throughout Scripture, we keep seeing this repeating statement from the Lord, this repeating message. We may make a mistake to think that this is a thread. And oftentimes we hear speakers and we hear teachers talk about that, a thread being woven throughout throughout the Scriptures. And this thread is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And we know that's the first commandment as well. But I would say that this particular statement, this particular command from the Lord isn't a thread at all. It's embroidered. It's right there in plain view. He wasn't hiding this at all. You know, we see this in the first part of the, we'll stick with Deuteronomy, but it's all over the place, even in the New Testament. Deuteronomy 6:2, we see, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In Deuteronomy 10:12, to love him, to serve the Lord with Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And Deuteronomy 11:1-13, we read, love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. How many in here would say that you have a mind of a researcher? I think in this area, we would call them analysts. And I think we all have that. We all have that ability to go research things. And this is one of my convictions. You know, when you're given a message, all of a sudden, I'm a better analyst than I was 3 weeks ago when it comes to Scripture. And I should be like that all the time. And oftentimes, I'm a better analyst when I'm looking stuff up about photography or about reloading. That's when I become an extremely good analyst, a good researcher. I'm really seeking answers. I'm asking key questions. And my questions are sincere. So in Deuteronomy 13:2-4, we actually see the purpose that Moses is giving these speeches to them. And we also see the purpose of the Lord in what the Israelites have been going through. They're being tested. And the Lord doesn't mince words. He tells them this clearly, that you are being tested. And we see that in Deuteronomy 13. Our brother already covered this. But in verse 3, we read, "You shall not listen to the words," let's start in verse 2, "and the sign and wonders that he tells you comes to pass. And if he says, let's go after other gods, which you have not known, let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer or dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him." So he makes it clear, these are tests. You know, real love is having a choice, isn't it? Real love is having a choice. I remember I used to be a huge fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation. I'm sure some of you have watched that as well. And I always admired the leadership of Captain Picard. It was the exact opposite of Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk went punching right away. Captain Picard would reason through things. He would reason through it logically. But on one of the episodes, there was, if you've seen it, you all remember Q. Q was this being that was capable of doing anything, everything, even manipulating time. And in one episode, there was this girl that was a Q. And she discovered she was a Q later on in this episode. And she had a crush on Commander Riker. You may remember him if you've seen the show. But he didn't love her back. He didn't have that same affection for her. And then she said, "Wait, I'm a Q. I can do anything." And so she used her powers to make him genuinely love her. He genuinely loved her because she had that capability. She had that power to do that. But after time went on, she realized it wasn't real. It just wasn't real. She just did not have that joy that we all have when we have a spouse or a friend or a mom and dad that truly love us, because they're not under our spell, they're not under our power. The Lord wants us, he gives us these tests, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, to give them a choice to love him freely. Matthew 22:34-40, Christ Jesus repeats this. He's answering a question from the Pharisees. And interestingly enough, this is the very last question they ask him because of the answer that he gave them, you know, in the form of a question. In Matthew 22:34-40, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him." And there's the clue for us to test him. You know, we shouldn't test the Lord our God. So his question was not a true motive to learn. He wasn't a true researcher to find truth, but he was trying to trap. So he asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" So he's asking Jesus to name all the laws, and he probably meant all 613. And he's asking Christ, Jesus, to point out which one is the most important. And the Lord answers just what we just read all through Deuteronomy, not sure, all through Scripture. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is likewise, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. So we see it right there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. Everything's hinged on that commandment. And we also see that this command depends on all the law and all the prophets. So we see them ask him this question. But we know what their motive is. You know, we know this account in Scripture, and we know that they're not being earnest. They're not that true researcher who's seeking truth. You know, I do this in my job constantly. I deal with databases and not as much code as I used to, but I deal with databases, and there's so much data now that actually the new job term now, it's called data analytics. It's becoming huge now because of the humongous amount of data we have now. And these individuals, they're the experts, and they had the information right there in front of them. They were supposed to be the experts, but they missed it. This thing that we just said that is embroidered, it's not a thread woven through Scripture. It's embroidered. It's in plain sight, and they missed it. And they asked them that question. He gave it to them. So let's get then to Deuteronomy 29 with that in mind. And another thing to keep in mind is our own hearts. As later on we will hear that we have eyes, we have ears, but we don't really hear, we don't really see. And the Lord, he knows when we're ready. He knows when we're ready to really listen. He knows when we're really asking genuine questions, when we really are seeking after him. And when that happens, he gives us an understanding that goes beyond anything that I can do, anything that any of us can do. So Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the commandment that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he made with them in Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, and this is all Israel, and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. Isn't that interesting? To this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. That is an interesting verse. So, you know, sometimes you can back off and say, wait a second, that doesn't seem very fair of the Lord to be punishing them and accusing them of not hearing and not understanding when he's the one giving them that gift to understand. But we have to see the whole of Scripture. Understand the Lord is seeking those who are seeking him and seeking him diligently. Now, I remember that as myself, as an agnostic. And even before that, I would consider myself an atheist. I remember someone giving me a Bible several times, and I would read the words in the Bible. And I'll tell you right now, it didn't do anything. They were just words strung in a series. And to me, even today, I'm amazed because it's completely different now. But when I tried to read them back then, they were just words. There was like nothing. It was just, there's a word, there's a word, here's a word. I didn't get anything from it. But now I do, and I'm so thankful for that. So considering these words, we read in Acts 28, 23 to 25, just like my past, you know, people could have come to me over and over and again, and I just wasn't ready yet, even if I said I was. And here's an account where Paul was giving the message to these folks, and some would get it and some won't, just like I was in the past. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at a lodging in great numbers from morning till evening. He expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And there we see it again, the law of Moses and the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. You know, that was me a few years ago, the ones that didn't believe. And agreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul and made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. So if they would just turn, if they were to listen, he would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So that's amazing there, because God always has a purpose, doesn't he? He always has a purpose. There's a plan. And this is where we clearly see the sovereign of the Lord, the sovereignty of the Lord. He's got a plan, and it's playing out. And that's just amazing how it works so well with our freedom to choose. I don't know how that works. And I'm not going to pick sides with the word of the Lord. I'm not going to go grab a bunch of verses that fulfills my satisfaction with one side and go pick another pair of verses that may conflict with that and reject them. I cannot do that. I don't know how that works. I think a brother spoke a while back, and it really made sense to me. It's like, because I felt that after becoming a Christian, you're pulled to these different groups or different groups of thought. And it's almost as if you don't believe this group and their way of thinking, then you may not be saved. Yeah, as if that's part of faith, is believing. Look at the thief on the cross. He didn't have any time to learn all these different groups of thoughts. He just believed the Lord, and he wanted to be with him. And this brother was speaking about this. I think several of us was, and it really made sense. And that is the fact that if you look through Scripture, you're going to see many, many verses that describe Jesus Christ as fully man. He is clearly just a man. And then you can find verses in the Bible that clearly say Jesus is the Lord. He's God in the flesh. But we don't see groups, not in true Christians, we don't see groups trying to pull us one through one set of verses versus the others. We know that they're both true. And that's where I stand. They're both true. And, you know, the Lord knows. I like what Tozer said in one of his books. The Lord knows. And speaking of the power of God's word, we see in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 14. Speaking of the power of God, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is what we speak, not the words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, several years ago, you all know I love photography. It's my way of seeing the world and looking at things closer, taking time with them. I purchased this camera. This is an interesting camera. It's called a twin lens reflex. It has two lenses on it. It's really interesting. It's really old. This thing's about, it's about half a century old. It's 50 years old. I purchased this in 1997, 1998, around that time. And I looked it up. I was just kind of curious. I said, I wonder how much this is worth now. It's worth five times more than I paid for it. So, but this camera, the two lenses in it, there's one lens right here that is just for the photographer's eye. So basically, you open it up and you look down in it, and you're using this lens alone. Now, I can use that lens, I can point at things, but nothing is being captured. I'm seeing things. and just like we see things, but there's nothing being captured. The lens, the bottom lens, the one down here, is what actually will be captured when you decide you want this image to be exposed to the film and be stored and be saved. And there's a mirror on the top here that reflects, and I'll let you all see this, but you can actually look, and I'm seeing your images right here down in the image this very moment. But it's not being captured on film. I was thinking of this as being like we were just reading. We have eyes to see and ears to hear, but we need to hear and see things spiritually through God's word. We need the spirit for that. And in some cases, you can look at this two ways. You can see this as, am I controlling the shutter when I set it and I just captured an image? Or is God deciding when I'm ready for that to be opened up and his word to be exposed to my heart? So you can kind of see that bottom lens as being our heart and the top lens as just being our eyes, and we're just taking in the world and it's just going through. It's not really sticking. It's not really being preserved on that film. It's not there, like we would say, forever. So in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, we see that even when everyone's given that opportunity, sometimes they reject. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, we read, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." There we see they were all exposed to this stuff. And again, we're going to get back to Deuteronomy 29, and you'll see that they all saw all these wonderful signs. They saw them with their eyes. They heard them with their own ears. And keep in mind, since we're towards the end of the chapter, these are probably the younger generation, because remember, those who were 20 and younger at the time were the only ones that were going to be allowed into the promised land. And Moses is giving him his last messages, basically, because he knows he's not going in with them. But we can clearly see that this was all of them. But the Lord wasn't pleased with all. That's actually scary, isn't it? With most, the God was not pleased. You know, that speaks that narrow way, and few will find it. And they were overthrown by the wilderness, and that we can see that as our wilderness is this world. And continuing of 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 11, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did." Well, that's a message for me. And you know, sometimes, like I said, you know, I love photography. I love reloading and really researching that. But I got to watch myself to make sure I don't love that and spend more time in those things than I do in the word of the Lord. "Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." This is for our benefit. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed." We see this again in Deuteronomy 29. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." So you have a choice. You're going to be tempted, but God's given you what giving you the tools to avoid it. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, beloved, flee from idolatry. You should flee from it. So back to Deuteronomy 29, continuing verse 5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you come, when you came to this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites, and half the tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant, and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You are standing together, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, the elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner who is in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God as he promised you. And he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It is not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant. And this is such a blessing to hear. You know, our brother talked about this this afternoon during the Lord's Supper. But with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not with us today. You know, the Lord has a plan to reach us as well, the Gentiles. And continuing on verse 16 in Deuteronomy 29. You know that we live in the land of Egypt. We know that we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and of gold, which were among them. Beware. Here's that verse again. Here's that statement again. And this is something I hovered around quite a while and said, you know, I got to watch out for this. This could be me. You know, this could be you. And we all need to beware. Beware lest there be any among you, a man or woman or clan or tribe, whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, the one when he hears the words of the sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. So we need to take that warning very seriously. And so that's why I hovered in this area quite a bit. And continuing Deuteronomy, continuing in verse 20. And the Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and the curses written in his book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for the calamity, in accordance with all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. And the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, will say, when they see the afflictions of that land and the sickness with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burnt out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown and nothing growing, where no plant can sprout, an overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath. All the nations will say, why has the Lord done this to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? Then people will say, it is because, and this is the reason, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, their God, of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known, and whom he had not allotted to them. So as a researcher reading these verses, I didn't have to go far. All the answers were right there. It says, speaking of this desolate land, and we know that the creation itself, the land and everything in it, was cursed as well with the fall of Adam and Eve. And so those were the obvious questions to ask as a researcher. You know, why did this happen? You know, they came upon this land and they saw it was desolate. And the obvious question was, well, what happened? What happened here? When we're at the baker's in our picnic, I saw this hole. It wasn't a hole. It was just this bare ground. And I took a picture of it, you know. And this is one thing. Did the Lord tell me I was going to be able to use this for the message? I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting. And yes, I'm going to use it. And most of us, you know, especially Jonathan, could tell you right away what that is, you know, why there's nothing growing in that one spot. But it was a stump. He had a stump there, but he moved it. But it just made an interesting image. Because right next to it, you see plants growing much taller, and it's a different kind of plant. And it's because obviously they're getting more nurture. But it's bearing right there in the middle. And I was imagining these people standing on a peak of a mountain, looking down on this land, and they see something like this. But instead of being a square foot circle, they see something that may be a square mile or hundreds of miles of land that's just bearing, that's just barren, and just nothing can grow there. And that would strike fear in them. What happened? What did this? And the Lord told them, you know, right here in verse 24, it told them, you know, why has the Lord done thus to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? Then the people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he has made with them. So they're given an answer, given a reason. That picture, another example, that picture also shows how our eyes can be fooled. You know, we can be very quickly fooled with our eyes. So continue in Deuteronomy, continuing in verse 27. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath and cast them into another land, as they are this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that they may do all the words of this law. Now, I read that verse and I looked at that, but the things that are revealed belong to us. Now, I looked at that for quite a while. It's like, so that means when the Lord, he opens up that second lens of mine, and he pushes that shutter to expose what he wants me to learn, because I'm looking all around. Now I'm responsible for that. When he reveals that to us, now I'm responsible for that. And he's revealed a lot to me. So in summary, this takes us back to the Pharisees and their answer, the question to the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep in mind that the scriptures tells us that this was the last question they asked him. And I hope myself, and I hope each of us, doesn't come to that place where our mind of being a researcher stops asking God genuine questions. That we're not fearful to ask questions, because that's what happened. After Jesus answered their questions, they were fearful. None of them would ask him another question. So we'll read this in Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and we read this earlier, and verse 30 says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And the Lord answered "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then they went on. Now when the Pharisees, verse 41 of Matthew 22, now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. We can see that as the Pharisees and Sadducees, because we know that others did ask him questions, but their questions were sincere. And for sake of time, we won't go through all of this, but these are a lot of woes to them and things that we need to be careful of. This is in Matthew 23, the whole chapter of Matthew 23. You know, woe to them, and just one statement after another that Jesus says. And you can read this on your own time. The main point here is that they were supposed to be the experts. They were supposed to be the leaders, leading people. But instead, they were guiding them astray. The Lord even told the people, listen to the things they teach, but don't do what they do. You know, because they were after their own celebrityship. They loved to be greeted. They loved to wear clothing that drew attention to themselves. And they missed that one question they asked Jesus, and he gave it to them. They missed that. Like we said earlier, it's not a thin little string woven through Scripture. It's embroidered. It's clear. It wasn't meant to be hidden. So this verse in 37 of Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city has killed the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing?" Again, I point to my past. I remember people come through my door, handing out, gospel tracts, and so on. I used to just close the door. No, thank you. I'm good. No, thank you. And even sometimes quite hostile towards them. And now I look forward to that day where, I get to be with my Savior, but I'll be able to thank them too. Say, thank you for constantly coming to my door, being obedient. But at that time, that was me. I was not willing. "See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And I hover around that a little bit because that's what it's going to take. For you to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," you have to recognize him and who he is. And then, or maybe altogether, you have to recognize yourself and who you really are. That you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. And we recognize that. And then we recognize, after we recognize who he is and what he's done, there should be a genuine gratitude. Just amazing gratitude. And it should also come out in a form that looks like works to the outside world, as if we're trying to work for our salvation, but it's not working for salvation. It's out of gratitude that we do this for him. A completely different motivation of what we do and why we do it. I remember our speaker yesterday, actually, and he spoke about that. He said, and I can't quote him exactly, but he said something to the effect of, what you know and what and who he is should directly affect what you do. And I also remember the speaker before that. I forgot his name, but he kept going through, remember what Christ did. Remember he did this. And he kept going on and on, remember. And when we do this, we should see him the way he is and say and be able to say freely and genuinely, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So my two two takeaways. I thought about putting this at the beginning because sometimes it's good to see what I got out of this first and then go through it. But the two main things the Lord taught me through this, and I hope the Lord taught you something. It might be something different. And number one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second thing I pulled out of here for myself personally, and again, you might have gotten something else. The Lord may have taught you something else. But you become the worldly idols you seek after and admire. You see, worldly idols, they may not necessarily be that wood or silver that you carve out with your hands. But think about it. When you take wood and you carve out eyes, you carve out ears, those eyes cannot see and those ears cannot hear. So when we go after those things that we desire, we become like them. So I too would be that idol that I have that has no eyes. It has eyes, but they cannot see, and has ears, but they cannot hear. So I need to be careful with that. And so I'm thankful for the Lord for showing me these things. And again, you may have seen something different. The Lord may have taught you something different. And I'm sure I'll be thankful for that. You'll be thankful for that as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your message. We thank you for Moses' obedience, Father, there on the mountain, Lord, to leave this last message to the Israelites, Father, his last message, Lord, and now to us, Father. Father, I thank you for your perfect timing, Father, for opening my heart at those proper times, Father, in your timing, when you know that I'm ready. I thank you, Lord, that you're the teacher, and that you've promised that you will write these things in our hearts. And you are the one who turned my heart of stone into flesh, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. And Father, we just thank you for the many, many blessings that you've given us. And we just don't deserve. And we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And Father, we continue to pray for our brothers and sisters who are at home now. We pray for our sister Joanna, Father. We praise you for her recovery, Lord, from this misery, Lord, that we have in this corrupt world, Father. We just thank you for that. We thank you for allowing them now, Father, to fully enjoy this new life. And Father, we pray for the children, Father, to welcome their little sister, Father. And Father, help us through this week and each day and each hour, Father, to be a testimony to you and to love you, Lord, as you've commanded. In Jesus Christ's name.